F オープンボイブフリーズダイヤル1088 to join the conversation。
Welcome to the SDF conferencing system.
Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conversation.Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conversation.Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conversation. Hello&Welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conversation.
Open VoIP. Open VoIP.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Wayne.
Wow. Oh, back away from the mic a little.
Oh, sorry. Is better?
Yeah, that's better. That's better, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was just too enthusiastic because I didn't think anybody was on. Are we the only people here? Hello?
Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP Freeze Dial 1088 to join the conversation.
What's going on?
Well, I'm just sitting here stealing stuff off of BitTorrent. And
All right.
In the background, we've got the ham radio, the local net here going on. People are checking in, and pretty soon that's going to peter out, and we'll go into amateur radio newsline.
Okay.
And, which is kind of a podcast for ham radio, and it started out like back in the 70s, before podcasts were even, you know, the apple of somebody's eye, or whatever the damn expression is. Back in those days, you know, they would put together this show on tape, and then they would get on the radio, and by the radio, I mean the kind of shortwave radio that could cover the country. And so they would play the show on the air, and people all over the country would have their tape recorders out, and they would be recording it off of the air from the shortwave. And then, you know, in the next week, whenever their local repeater or, you know, the local community got together, then they would play that tape back. And
can I just say that we have a long distance dedication from E.T. to Elliot?
Who's E.T. and who's Elliot?
E.T. is the extraterrestrial and Elliot is his human
right,
friend.
Oh, right. So,
and for some reason, SMJ is telling us that we are supposed to say that. I don't know why.
Yeah, okay, I'm just catching up on that too.
I'm just doing what the good system admin, peace be upon him,
tells our me overlord. To do. Right.
Our benevolent dictator.
Yes. A long-distance dedication to Elliot. Okay.
I don't know how that came up.
No, I'm drawing a blank on that as well.
But who knows what goes on in the mind of SMJ?
Yes, it is an enigma wrapped up in a mystery and
wrapped in a burrito.
Yes, and you know, deep fried and yeah.
Dip it in some vegan salsa.
And then stuffed into a chili relleno.
That's right. Oh, that sounds tasty.
I'm getting hungry.
I love eating enigmas. Oh, I heard about this movie. Have you ever seen the movie?
Back up, and say the same thing again, and like half of the volume.
Loud again, huh?
Well, I'm thinking that it was not only loud in the sense of hurting my ears, but it was loud in the sense of causing distortion, and I was not able to understand what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm so loud all of a sudden, because I'm using the same distance that I always do, and the mic is set in the middle.
Well, it's easy to get kind of excited, and when that happens, you unconsciously increase your vocal volume.
Yeah.
And even without realizing it, you can be overdriving your sound card or microphone or whatever and causing all this distortion. So it's a discipline or just a habit you have to get into of talking. I mean, if we were sitting across a table at a coffee shop, you know, it wouldn't make
I'd be like jumping out at you and grabbing your shirt.
Yeah, but I would still understand what you said. Okay.
Remember when we were at the Chinese restaurant?
Yes.
I mean, I was just...
Right.
You know.
Because our ears have very wide dynamic range. But
correct.
But the microphone and the sound card and radios, you know, they don't have quite as much dynamic range.
I'll try to use more of an NPR kind of voice.
Well, or just...
I'm talking
now,
JWH.
Where is your do we have anybody else in here?
I don't think so.
I think, in comm there, it sounds like they might be listening to us. So somebody
may be lurking. I'm sure somebody, if we look at the status.
Hello, welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conversation.
Oh, okay, so you're looking at...
I'm looking at IceCast 2 status page.
Okay, so that's... All right. So there's two things going on here. There's the bridge, the people who are using SIP to connect to 1088. And Lincoln,
right, I don't know how to see that.
Right. But then the bridge is taking the SIP session and rebroadcasting it on IceCast. And so we do know how many people are listening to it on IceCast.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, SMJ, I think, can see how many people are on the bridge. I hear Morse code.
That's the repeater. And what happened to Newsline? Oh. Okay, the volume is just kind of low on the news line there.
Okay. So where were we? Making snow dust happy.
Let me ask you something in a quiet or a more neutral voice. Have you ever seen this movie, L.A. Confidential?
Yes, that was a great movie. I loved that. That was 20 years ago, though. The guy who
20 years
it
ago
died.
Already. Oh.
I think 1997.
Oh, it's time for me to start watching movies from the 1990s, I think. I'm ready.
Here's the weird thing. It was the same year as Titanic, and Titanic stole all the Oscars.
I still haven't seen Titanic.
Well, don't bother.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
See L.A. Confidential instead.
Yeah, it sounded really good because that show Fresh Air with Terry Gross.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't really care for that much. She was interviewing the guy who made L.A. Confidential.
Well, that's the guy who died, yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, so that's why they were talking about it today. Okay.
Yeah. And, well, Terry Gross, I've got a crush on her. Have had for years. She's geek chic.
Okay. Well, you can have her. I find her very annoying.
Okay.
I know a lot of people like her show. I just find it really annoying.
Okay. Once again, I think you're kind of getting excited there, so kind of scale it down a little.
I'm watching the levels. Okay, let me sit back here. Is this better?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, I'll sit like this.
Are you playing with your glass or something?
No, that's not me. I think there's somebody else in here. I'm guessing it's either SMJ or Neff.
Maybe somebody new.
I thought I heard.
Yeah,
somebody.
I just heard the sound effect. Somebody joining.
Yeah.
Us.
Hello? Unknown person, can you identify yourself? Okay.
I guess not.
Yeah, so, but I really enjoy, I'm really intrigued by this film because they said it was like a period piece, but they didn't go for the, like, film noir kind of, because it takes place in 1953 or something like that.
53. I don't know. That sounds a little early. I would have thought it maybe late 50s, early 60s. But I wouldn't have called it exactly noir. It was.
Yeah.
It was. It had dark elements to it. Bad people doing bad things. But
okay. But that's human nature.
Right. That's all the time. And it's not. That's not exactly a genre. That's just a given.
Yeah.
But actually, the thing that was interesting about this is that the, what's his name, the Australian guy?
Crocodile Dundee.
No. The Gladiator. I'm just drawing a blank on his name for
some reason. Yeah, I know who you mean.
Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conversation.
Russell Crowe, right.
Yeah.
He is like, he has this thing about men who mess with their women. You know, it's like he's on a crusade about that. And so...
Who mess with their women.
Abuse.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Physically right. Abuse, mentally abuse, the whole thing. And so he's kind of on this crusade. He probably steps over the line quite a lot, you know, where like if he encounters somebody who's just beat his wife, you know, he's liable to, you know, punch the guy in the nose. And this was back in the 50s when cops could get away with that kind of shit. And
that's the plot of the movie, you're saying?
Well, it's not the plot, but it's an element.
Okay. I thought you were saying Russell Crowe, the person, was on a crusade to do that.
He was. I mean, he has this. He's a cop. And when he's on a case that involves some man who's abusing a woman...
I thought you were saying the actual person, Russell Crowe, had a crusade to do that.
No. I'm talking about his character in the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm trying to remember the Pierce character. I think he's some kind of like police bureaucrat, and I don't remember a whole lot except that, you know, I think this was the movie that introduced both of those actors to America, and both of them went on to do, you know, big and better things, so it was I mean that's just one more reason why it's a good movie. I mean, it started out as a good movie, but it had these other reasons why it's good to watch it.
Yeah, well, I was listening to, I guess it was an excerpt from the Terry Gross interview that was done whenever, I don't know when, and he was saying that he wanted to make it a piece that took place in this time, but not make it look like the film noir kind of genre in terms of lighting effects and that kind of thing.
Right, I mean, I remember it had plenty of color in it. And it wasn't, you know, black and white the way you normally think that a noir would be.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me excited to see it. And most movies, I think I've told you before that I'm pretty picky about movies.
Yeah.
So there aren't too many movies that make me really feel like I want to see them.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, for a movie that's 20 years old, this is one that's worth digging out.
I can't even remember the last movie I saw in a movie theater. It might have been one of the Avengers movies with Captain America. Which one was that? That was like four years ago or something.
I probably shouldn't say this with the SDF user base listening in, but I have never really been that much into comics.
Well, you can say that.
And it probably spills over into things like anime and manga and all that other stuff too. When I think about comics, I think about, well, I just think bad things.
You think bad things.
Bad things, yeah. Something like people who like comics are people who are illiterate or something like that. And in particular, I could live with that. Okay, you know, we got a bell curve. Maybe I'm on one end of it, and there are other people on the other end of it, and they have a right to live too.
Oh
so,
my God.
You know, okay, let it, you know. So that's some, right. But what really bugs me is where the comics are taking over cinema. I mean, look at how many movies these days are about Spider-Man or Superman or Batman or Captain America or, you know, all this crap. It just makes me sick.
What do you think the movies should be based on?
Ordinary people, real people, not comic book characters, not
superheroes. So like reality TV movies.
Well, Now, reality TV, are you talking about like Donald Trump, you know, The Apprentice? Is that reality TV? Is that what
how about how about a movie about a guy who gets... Hello and
welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Freeze dial 1088 to join the conversation.
I'm not saying that cinema has to be nonfiction. You know, fiction, but comic book fiction is like simplifying fiction. It's like fiction for babies.
I don't see it that way at all.
It's like Gerber, you know.
No, I don't think so. See, I see it as like a modern kind of mythos. It's like the like in the old times, people had stories about the Greek gods, and now we have stories about Batman.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No, I think I see the point that you're making, that, you know, that in times past, they had stories about heroes, and we still do.
Like, every generation has their own
except that back in the day, when those stories about, you know, the Olympic giants and the Nordic, you know, gods and so forth, they were not promulgated by an industry out for profit the way Hollywood is doing with these movies.
What about the Catholic Church?
What about the everything the Catholic Church does?
You know, it was a story about a superhero who transcends death and
right.
And then the whole organization.
The Catholic Church is just as bad as the comic books and the Hollywood studios, even worse.
Okay.
Because, I mean, even the Hollywood studios don't go out and kill millions of people the way the Catholic Church did.
Well, I mean, you've got to have some PR and generate interest in your production.
Wesley, what's happening at Calm there? I'm getting a little bit of I don't know, some good press and calm there, I think. At least Snowdusk is saying
I think people are enjoying the conversation.
Well, maybe. Let's see. Tobe says, fiction for babies. I think he was maybe dittoing.
Is that agreeing with you that, well, what, so you are you totally anti-comic?
No, like I said, I can... If there are people who, for no fault of their own, can't read, you know, great literature, but they can read a comic book and perhaps they can learn something, they can get, you know, a benefit from it that somebody else would get from reading, you know, Steinbeck or Dickens or whatever.
No, but
that's fine.
I don't see it that way at all.
But to take this lowest common denominator and blast it to everybody and make it the most... doing a service to culture. Now,
I really want to dig into this because, well, let's forget the movie part. Because I read. Can you hear me?
You're breaking up. So, you know, move away from the mic a little. I think.
I'm sitting back now.
All right, well, or you know, kind of, what curb your enthusiasm?
Okay, I'll try to sound a little bit bored and apathetic. So I read literature from several thousand years ago. Is my specialization, as you know.
Yes.
I read like Buddhist fantasy stories from. Like, about 1500 years ago is the period I specialize in. And, so I wouldn't consider myself to be uncultured in that regard, but I also enjoy especially comic books by Fantagraphics. If you're familiar with that particular publishing company,
No, I don't recognize her.
Okay, so there's a there's a publishing house called Fantagraphics that publishes a lot of like indie, just like there are indie films.
Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Freeze dial 1088 to join the conversation.
Like there's this guy I like, Chris Ware. And if you're not into that kind of genre, you haven't heard of that person, but he makes these comics that are like really artfully, really skillfully done, and like the art is just perfect, but then the subject matter is like extremely existential and dark material that you wouldn't expect. That's not like Spider-Man or something. It's not like a hero quest kind of story. It'll be like there's one he did called what was it called, like Jimmy the Smartest Kid in the World or something was the title, something like that. And then the story is about like a guy and his bad relationship with his father and
It sounds like you're saying that, you know, hey, there's this, like, you know, 1% of the comic book market that's, like, solid gold. It's really good stuff. And where I'm saying, you know, 99% of the comic book market is trash. So we're really on the same page here.
I agree. But if you, but you know, you're saying, like, people should be reading novels or something. And if you go to the grocery store, you know, you'll see all those trash novels about, like, Fabio on a horse or something, you know,
romance fiction. Fantasy. Well, that's just as much garbage as the comic books are.
Yeah, that's my point, is that in any kind of literary genre, 99% of it is going to be just shit.
Yeah.
You go to the movies, you know, like, that's why I'm saying I'm very picky about movies, because most of them are just shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if they pretend to be serious, it's like, I don't care about your shitty love story. It's just like most of it is just a copy of whatever. It's just some formulaic thing.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm pretty sure that we're not really very, you know, disagreeing.
I don't think we are.
Maybe our emphasis might be a little bit different.
But my point is that I like those, I really enjoy those comic book movies. Especially, I liked the Avengers one. I don't even know what year it was when this came out. It must have been within the last 3 or 4 years. The Avengers one with Incredible Hulk, who was always one of my favorite characters because he has anger issues, and he, in this particular film, he said he had control over his anger issues, and his secret was that he's angry all the time, whatever that means, and then he can, like, transform into Hulk and back at will, I guess. And I thought that was really cool. The way I see it, the superheroes, like each superhero represents some kind of personality attribute.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you might not see it that way, but
When I was a kid, I was a little bit more inclined to read some of those things. I remember the Fantastic Four. The Hulk was one of those, wasn't he?
No, Hulk wasn't part of the Fantastic Four. It was that rock guy.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever.
The thing, or something.
Yeah. But I don't know. As I grew older, I just wanted something more than that. So
I left mine. I'm not, I don't really read mainstream comics. I never really got into them. But I, you know, what I like is the I don't know how to say it. I like the genre of
Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conversation.
A novel where you don't have any images. I like this idea of a series of pictures that are telling some kind of narrative story.
Yeah,
but
well,
I don't think just including pictures makes it dumb or something.
I don't, that's not what I was getting at. Right. I mean, I can see the artistry and the technique that's involved in making a silent film. And in many ways, the silent film is a lot like a comic or a graphic novel.
Yeah.
That there's no sound, and the dialogue is done in kind of an unnatural form there. You're not usually, having bubbles over people's
heads. That's right,
heads.
Yeah.
But it's a genre. It's a medium. And
yeah.
it's a space to be creative in. And some people who are creative can make it work and produce something that's worth the attention. But I'm thinking most of, the Batman, Superman, superhero comics does not rise to that level. It's kind of a...
it's cheeseball.
Yeah. I mean, it's not worth paying a lot of attention to. And then for Hollywood to come along and say, now let's take this two-dimensional, non-audio medium and let's put it on the big screen and make a lot of money. And I'm thinking, never mind, no thanks.
But what is your problem with, it seems like you not only have a problem with people trying to make you watch that, but you are somehow offended that it even exists.
Well, because it drives out, it soaks up all the investment money for cinema so that there's not that much left for what I would call good movies.
So do you think that if people stopped making these superhero movies that there would be like a lot more art films or something that are really intellectually stimulating or?
There might be. I'm not saying that it's a direct causal relationship, but notice that these blockbuster comic book movies usually have the big budgets. Like the $100 million budgets for all the special effects to make this thing work, for the same price that you could make one of, a Spider-Man movie, you could make 10, National Lampoon Vacation movies, I'm not saying that we should make 10 National Lampoon Vacation movies, but that there would be more money available for other movies.
Let me see how I can ask you this. Are you a fan of Tolkien?
No.
Oh, really? Okay. Because I think that's like really great literature. But you don't like, I don't think you like fantasy. That's the problem.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Because Tolkien was a philologist. You can't say that he was some kind of dummy Pulp Fiction kind of guy.
No.
And Lord of the Rings is one of the most impressive works ever to be produced in the English language. But the movie was just kind of like, it sort of captured the aesthetic, but not really. They made three movies, and then they made three Hobbit movies, and it just got trashier and trashier as it went.
I saw the first three movies. I don't think I saw the Hobbit movies.
They're not even worth. I mean, I saw the first two, hoping that it would get better.
Yeah.
At some point, and it was just awful. I just thought, oh, I wish I never would have I didn't even see the third one because it's like, oh my god,
I can't
believe you wasted three movies on this.
Yeah, I cannot even tell you.
Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP Freeze Dial 1088 to join the conversation.
Are there like three books, or is it all just one book?
For The Hobbit.
Oh, wow.
The Hobbit is one book, and then Lord of the Rings. It took me, I think, a year to read Lord of the Rings, the whole thing, because it's three books. It's like probably like 1,000 pages in total. And it's really complicated. And then if you read like Silmarillion, which is like sort of like the Old Testament of the Tolkien universe or something, then it's just really like Tolkien was a pretty weird guy. He came up with a very detailed world. I don't even know what to say about that. It's it goes farther into a fantasy world than I think I'm willing to commit my time to. But it's very incredible because he's really a philologist. I mean, he really knows, you know, the languages that he makes up. There's a huge difference between like Elvish, which is a language Tolkien created, and something like Star Trek's Klingon.
Okay.
You know, where they just kind of mumble into the microphone and pretend like they're doing a language.
Uh-huh.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, I can understand that he knew what he was doing when he was making up the language, whereas
there are appendices in that book. Because I've got the big one that has like all of them bound together with like an extra appendix and everything, and it has all these sections that say like, well, actually Frodo's name wasn't Frodo, it was like Fiorca or something, I can't remember what it is, but it was like in the Hobbit language, male names generally end in a short a, and female names end in an e or something. Like, he's got it all like spelled out, and then he's like, well, I've modified the names so that they're more suitable for an Anglo audience. It's just a ridiculous level of complexity. Oh, Tobe is saying Tolkien didn't invent any languages. He ripped off Welsh and Cornish. Okay, well, that's fine. Well, I mean, I think he specialized in that kind of thing. But even so, there's still a huge difference between what he's doing and the people who are inventing Klingon and these other pseudo languages that appear in sci-fi fantasy films.
Well, the Star Trek. Don't lump together Hollywood, you know, Roddenberry and Lucas, all those people. Don't lump them together necessarily with all the science fiction writers. I used to be really into science fiction. Not so much anymore. But when I read fiction, most often it
what do you mean
fiction.
You were into science fiction, like Asimov and Arthur C. Clarke?
In the beginning, yeah. Later on, people like Niven. Who else did I like? There's a guy named Hal Clement that he was pretty good. Hard science fiction.
Not so much the sword and sorcery kind of fantasy science fiction.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, well, you read 2001, probably.
I didn't read that one. I didn't read that much of Arthur C. Clarke.
Did you read Foundations?
I think I did read the Foundation trilogy.
That's a good series.
Yeah. And the 2001 movie I liked a lot.
even with yeah, the flaws. It was.
I love Stanley Kubrick movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But you seem to have some kind of aversion to like high fantasy.
Yes, there's a concept of suspension of disbelief, and I'm willing to suspend disbelief if you give me a good reason to, you know, you don't go too far. You know, I can suspend it a little bit with very little trouble. If you want me to suspend it a lot, you need to give me a good reason for it. But you can't just say, oh, yeah, in a galaxy far, far away where all the rules of physics don't work, you know, blah, that's not a good enough reason.
Oh, you don't like Star Wars?
No. I mean, as a soap opera or an oat opera, whatever they call it, it was a Western
space
translated
opera,
to outer space.
Yeah.
Well, it's a cowboy movie translated to outer space. So, and to some extent, it works on that level. But it's science fiction. No, it was crap. It's science fiction.
So what? Give me a formula for a good science fiction movie that you would appreciate.
Well, let me think. I thought The Andromeda Strain was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah.
Michael Crichton was very good. I think
he was
most
brilliant.
He did a thing called Terminal Man. That was an interesting premise. He
did you like
Jurassic Park? The basic premise of Jurassic Park was very good. Yes.
Did you read the book?
Yes.
Yeah, the book was really nice. I really didn't like the movie that much.
The book was better. Most of the time, you know, 90% of the time, the book is better than the movie. Occasionally, you'll find a case where the movie outdoes the book, but it's pretty rare.
It's a little bit unbelievable that they would run this dinosaur theme park and use Unix to run it, because you know that they would be having all kinds of upgrade issues.
And they would not if they'd run Windows instead?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what the proper operating system would be for a Unix for a dinosaur theme park, but
no, that was not the worst part of Jurassic Park, believe me.
Yeah, that's true.
And don't forget Die Hard. Unix was in Die Hard too.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, Hollywood always gets technology wrong.
Well, Die Hard was full of mistakes like that, but it was just kind of cute to see that brief scene. Somebody in the technical staff of the movie knew something and slipped that in. I'm sure the director probably didn't understand any of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, usually you see these things like hacking, like the red flashing, like the main character is like, I'm going to hack into the terminal, or I'm going to hack into the mainframe or something.
And CRTs always have sound effects that you hear, you know, click, click, click.
Like, yeah, bloop, 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 hacking in effect right now. Yeah, I would really enjoy seeing a movie where they just logged into a terminal and nothing happened, and then they're like, I guess that didn't work. I guess we'll have to just blow the door off with a machine gun or something.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of some other good science fiction movies. Did you hear of the movie called, I think it's Children of Men?
It sounds familiar.
It's about a future where there's some kind. Well, in fact, it's kind of interesting. You know, the Zika thing. Okay, you know,
the
it
Zika
causes,
virus. Yeah.
Right. It causes microcephaly. Well, imagine if there's some kind of virus that comes along and it basically makes women infertile. So
okay.
no more kids being born.
Yeah.
And okay. And in fact, one of the that happens in this movie is that the young
what a tragedy
the
for the planet Earth if our population would go down. I mean, can you imagine?
Right. Well, it would be pretty, what's the word?
Eventful.
Pessimistic. You know, but what happens in this movie is that there's like a mutation. There's like a woman who is resistant to the virus.
Okay.
And she's like the only fertile woman.
Well, I forget the details of it. I don't want to say something and turn out to be wrong about that. But I would just highly recommend seeing the movie Children of
Men.
What
is it called? Children of Men. I'm looking at the Wikipedia of it.
Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDF Open VoIP. Please dial 1088 to join the conversation.
No, the guy.
Charlie Hunnam.
No. He does a lot of action movies these days.
Julianne Moore?
She's in there too, maybe, but the guy, the hero.
Clive Owen?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And it takes place in 2027.
Okay, right. In the future. The exact date is
not that far in the future.
No. That way we don't have to have drones taking over.
That's
more like
that's gonna happen in next year.
Right. Well, the movie came out a few years ago before drones.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting to see what
Snowdust Elliot is in Children of Men.
No.
That's
he's
what he's
talking
said
about.
Come.
E.T. still. Oh wait, no.
All right.
No, he did say that. Is E.T. Elliot? I think he's
just joking. Just joking.
Around. Yeah, okay. Okay, I might see this movie. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd like
sure
to read the Wikipedia plot summaries for movies, and then most of the time I just think, okay, I get the idea. I don't need to see this thing.
Yeah. Well, I have a love-hate relationship with science fiction movies. I like science fiction, but I hate what Hollywood does to it.
Well, I just don't like most movies. And I don't like the experience most of the time of going to the movie theater with other people around. I don't like people talking during the movie.
Yeah.
And usually I have really sensitive ears, and I find that they turn the volume way too loud in the movie theater.
The thing that gets me, and again, this is probably going to sound like some kind of hyper elitist thing. It happens mostly with comedies. I usually get the joke pretty quick. So, I'll say, and they'll be ready for the next joke. But other people in the audience, some of them, it takes them like 3 seconds to get the joke, and then they're and they drown out the next three jokes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, that's why most films, I torrent them 10 or 20 years after they become popular.
I've worked
up to like the 1980s now, and I think I'm getting ready to jump into the 90s.
I used to go to the theater more often. There's one in town. They used to have a good deal on popcorn on Tuesdays, and so I would go and see a matinee on Tuesday afternoon when almost nobody else was in the theater, and I could get a big bucket of popcorn for almost nothing. But I would never go on Friday or Saturday night. Forget about it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's nice just to observe other people and see. Give me a sense of how dumb ordinary people actually are. Because I don't get a chance to interact with ordinary dumb people very much.
Well, you should savor that condition. That is a diamond.
Want, especially if I'm gonna make like mobile phone games, I wanna know what's the target market, and do they know if I make a game called like pick red and blue objects, do they know what red and blue mean?
Right. Well, don't ask me to give you advice on how to cater to the least common denominator. I'm not going to be able to help you with that.
Yeah. I just try to think of the dumbest thing I can and then make it 10 times dumber than that.
And then you'll still be surprised.
Yeah, I am. But, I mean, I don't know, I mean, I
Hello and welcome. It is now time.